Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge Atlantic's Interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Electric Kiwi.
Yeah, and I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name or my side project, Midnight Soundtrack, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists or directing and editing music videos and music documentaries. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as my name, Marcin Novelli.
Our new shirts have arrived and they're available to purchase on our website. There's a link to it in our show notes, so go and get them.
Yeah, Ross and I wear it every Tuesday. We wear them every Tuesday, and we want you to wear them too. So go to our website use the coupon code BTARocks, receive 10% off your purchase as our way of saying thank you. That's it.
And yeah, enough about us. Our guest this week is Mike Zimmer out of Los Angeles, California. Mike's the founder of the So What Music Festival, which will enter its 10th year in 2017. He's also the creator of Unsilent Night Music Festival. And as a promoter, he's booked everyone from A Day to Remember, Sleeping with Sirens, All Time Low, Under Oath, Pierce the Veil, Taking Back Sunday and The Used, to G-Eazy, Riff Raff, Steve Aoki, and more.
We listen to at least half of those people. Aside from promoting, Zimmer also runs an artist management company called Evolve Management and a record label called Third String Records. As a successful entrepreneur of over a decade, Mike also brings his knowledge to conferences and schools across the U.S. In addition, he offers one-on-one mentoring sessions with individuals interested in seeking advice and guidance, as well as bands looking for help finding the proper next steps to turn their passion into a career. So we're excited to learn more about and from the man himself. So let's jump right in. Welcome to the show, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
No.
You know what? That's a little negative. I'm gonna flip it over. I'm doing well.
You're doing well?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad
well.
You're
great.
Doing well, Marcio.
Yeah.
We don't say often enough, but you know, if you're doing well, then I'm doing well.
Oh, you're such a liar. You know that's such a lie. Mike, let's get awkward. Tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Three things that you should know. I started my business borrowing $500 from my friend's mom. I have lost more money on music festivals than some people make in a year, and still somehow I'm doing this. And I'm obsessed with dogs.
Well, I guess you and Ross already have something in common.
Yep. We do. We both love our dogs. I know that. And also, I'm just going to get awkward right up here. I accidentally invited myself on a date with Mike on Twitter because he posted something about wanting someone in LA to go to gigs with him. And I responded saying, oh, yeah, if you pay for my flight, then I'll come. And then, you know, he said, no, I meant to specify I was looking for a female. I was very embarrassed because I was not meaning to invite myself on a date.
Yeah.
I just meant it'd be fun to hang out. So, you know, that's my awkward story for the day. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive right in here. I want to know, we want to talk about what you do.
Yeah. So,
that was to
Mike,
help Ross. Ross didn't jump in
and Ross
was supposed to jump in and start asking questions. I was like, I'm going to help him out here. I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to do the buffer. And still he sits there like,
it was a good transition.
Yeah. Ross,
I respect it.
It's you.
I know. You'd think I'd be good at this by now, but apparently not. Okay.
Only over 110 interviews, you know, that's all.
I know. So, Mike, you founded the So What Music Festival almost 10 years ago. We see a lot of festivals come and go. What do you think has contributed most to the success of So What?
I think what we've done is we've created sort of a destination version of a Warped Tour. We've made a festival where there's not a lot of other festivals going on in a time frame where there's not a lot of anything else going on. And we've kept it a solid mix of up-and-coming bands with the bands that have been in the music scene for a while. And it just, it's become something where people come and they meet each other, and then they come back the next year with more friends, and then more friends and more friends. And it's like people buy their tickets, their plane tickets, their hotels, everything before we even announce bands. So I think somehow we've created this destination event out of something that basically started as our anniversary show. Like we did our first show ever in March of 2004. And in 2005, we're like, oh, let's do a 1 year anniversary show. And then it kept building over the years. And one of our graphics people from back in the day was like, you should just call it South by So What? Because what's the point in any of these people going to South by Southwest if you're bringing all the good bands here? And so we called it that for a while, and now we're expanding outside of Texas. And so we're like, let's just call it So What Music Festival, because it's not going to really make sense at any other point in the year. But yeah, I mean, just the fans are obviously the key to success, because they make it a destination event where they meet up with other people and they just look forward to it. And so they promote it and they tell their friends, and it's very, very like organic. Like our marketing budget for the entire festival is, it's just so low, because everybody already is talking about it and sharing it. And it just blows my mind. Like, that's kind of why I'm rambling about it, because I just don't understand.
I love that though. I really do. You know, in your Twitter bio, you actually mentioned you're a college dropout working 24/7 to avoid the 9-to-5. How important is work ethic in this industry? Like, what are your views towards careers being built through relationships and hard work versus traditional formal education?
I mean, I think the most important thing in music is networking. Whether you're an artist, whether you're a manager, whether you're a record label, whether you're a promoter, I think the most important thing that you have to do is network, and you have to build up your network, and you have to actually be a likable person. Like, you have to go out on the nights that you don't want to go out. You have to go to the shows you don't want to go to. You have to hang out with all these people and get to know them. And like, you build a community around music where you're all supporting each other. And if you don't have that, then it's not going to work. Like, there's a lot of people that come into music and they just come from a lot of money, or they get a large investment and they just think that, oh, I'll just pay this much money for this or do this. And really, it's about the relationships. I mean, we've had shows where other venues have offered a lot more money and like just to try to steal shows from us, and the agent's like, you know, we don't want them promoting it. We're not going to ask you to match it, but you know, we want to let you know that we're like staying true to you guys and things like that. And so I think the most important thing is the relationships. And you know, that's a 24-hour job. Like, you really have, like, for me as a manager, like sometimes I double as like a psychiatrist almost for my artists that are like up at 3 a.m. and they're like, dude, I just really need to talk. Can you come over? And like, it's all about that. As soon as you're the person that's disconnected, you start losing your entire career and your artists and everything. So it really is a 24-hour job.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, I'm a web designer, graphic designer. That's what I do. But I even find sometimes that I end up having to take on the role of counselor for some of my clients. Like, I have clients who've been out of the business for 10 years and they're really scared about releasing their EP. And I end up sitting on the phone for 2 hours with them, talking them down. I'm like, look, it's okay to be afraid. It's fine. And at the end of the day, that's a relationship that, you know, hopefully we're going to continue. And, you know, because I provided more than just what they thought they were going to get with me. You know, I've kind of gone over and above their expectations. And I think that's really important when building and maintaining relationships. So,
yeah, well, you know, as the artist, that actually resonates with me, because I want to work with someone who cares. I don't want to work with someone who's just looking for a paycheck or is just doing their job. You know what I mean? I want to work with people all across the board in my team, you know, that are good people who care. It's as simple as that. Who actually, it's not just about them. You know what I mean? They want to see me succeed, and which makes me want to see them succeed. And it becomes this reciprocal thing. And that's what I think it's all about. You know what I mean? It's about good people doing good business, or just simply good people doing good things, you know?
So when you are, when you're offering mentoring sessions or speaking at conferences and schools, is there one question that you find that you're always having to answer? Like, is there something that seems to be a common thread that people just don't understand, or they just don't have that answer to?
Everyone's question is actually probably the most basic question. It's just, how do you get started in music? Like, how can I, a person that's in high school or I'm in college, like, how can I work in music? And my advice is always non-traditional, because I tell people not to go to college. Like, if you're asking a general question of music, that means you're not sure what you want to do yet. And to spend money at an expensive school to figure that out, it to me is a waste of your time and money, instead of maybe you take a year in between high school and college and you get some sort of internship, or you start working for a promoter like me or something like that, and build up and decide what you want to do. Like, there's nothing wrong with going back to school and learning on top of that. But until you really can find the lane that you want to be in, I don't think that you should go to college. And that's a weird thing to say when you're speaking at a college. Because, you know, I'll be in a room full of, like, students, and they're obviously in school, and they're like, well, you know, what do we do? And I'm like, well, if you're that clueless and you're in college right now, you should probably just wait. Like, you don't want to pay, like, Full Sail University or whatever college full price that to do, like, maybe you want to go artist management and learn everything about artist management, and then you decide, never mind, I want to be a promoter, but you've spent all your time and money and focus on one thing. So that usually leads to a lot of follow-up conversations of just kind of like, okay, here's how you can get an internship. Here's how you can talk to these kind of people.
All right, man. Are you ready for 20 questions?
Let's do it.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Texas or California?
Ooh, California.
Football or baseball?
Baseball.
Education or experience? I think we already know the answer to this one.
Experience. Definitely experience.
Canada or Scotland?
Scotland.
Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead?
Oh, neither. I can't pick.
Wow, okay. How about a third?
I watch, like, Entourage and, like, Ballers and stuff like that. I can't commit to any of those shows.
Okay.
too much to commit to.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
The Office or Arrested Development?
Arrested Development.
Blink 182 or Green Day?
Blink.
South Park or Family Guy?
South Park.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
This is an important question. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton? Bolt. Been doing this for 2 years.
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, always.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Celine Dion. And I said that like Ross would say. I usually say Celine Dion, but he says Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson.
Whale or kale?
Whale.
Bette Midler or The Riddler?
The Riddler.
And your final question is Ross or that guy Marcio over there?
You know, I mean, I'm just going to say I'm also a musician. And who knows what the future holds for us, Mike? You know, so just keep that in mind.
We'll go with Ross.
Oh, yes. I love how that backfired.
I got to stop lobbying. Every time I lobby, I lose.
And then it makes you lose
even harder,
right?
I like when people don't sell themselves.
I know, right? I do it every interview, and I lose every time. You'd think I'd learn, right? you know, for people who want to get involved in working in the music industry, the music festival side of the music industry, or music promotion, what would you say is the best way for them to get their foot in the door?
Volunteering, honestly, like whether it's for a vendor or doing merch or even just like showing up to be like a loader or any simple task. Like, we have people come set up tables for our vendors at our events and stuff like that. Like, one of my longtime employees, who is our director of marketing, actually started working for me by watching the door at our smaller shows for Chipotle coupons. He saw our door guy and he was like, hey, that guy just like flirts with girls and lets all the girls in, like, watch. And I sat there and I'm like, none of these girls have paid for the show. And he's like, I'll do that for Chipotle coupons. You buy me burrito bucks and I'll watch the door. And I was like, I'm sold, man. So he started doing that. And then, like, slowly he would like look for other ways to help out and eventually became the marketing director, amazingly. So you never know, like, you could think like, oh man, I don't want to go put up posters or set up tables. But really, that goes back to your question of talent or attitude. In that situation, it's fully attitude. Like, if you're just willing to help and you're stoked, like that goes a long way, even if you're just on a street team, to getting a job with us.
It's about building relationships, right? And showing that you're willing to work and that you have a passion for something, I think.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can say like, oh, I want to work in music. Music's cool. But then you have to actually show it. Like, it's not just showing up to a show, sitting backstage, taking a side stage photo, whatever. Like, you actually have to put in work. And I think the volunteering stage really separates the people from, you know, just want to hang out and meet bands from the people that actually want to work and can be around that environment without getting weird.
Getting weird. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Because some people just, yeah, they can't do it. I'd love to.
Well, there's so many different things. Like, people just get like, people can just get like literally weird is like the perfect example for it. Like, they'll be like the best, hardest working person, and then they'll be like one person that they have to work with that walks in the building, and all of a sudden they like shut down, like God just walked in the room or something, and they're like, oh my God, I can't talk to that guy, I can't work with that guy, or like whatever. And it's like, you really gotta like, you have to put away everything. Like, I would freak out if I got to work with Mark Coppice, but I would be able to like walk into the room and be professional. Like, for me, when we had Take It Back Sunday and The Used, it was kind of like the same thing. Like, those are the bands that I grew up on, and I had to just be like the promoter and be like, oh, thanks for playing, guys. And then like, once I turned the corner, I did my little celebration dance, you know. But
well, that sounds like just, Ross and I, we recently had the opportunity, over the course of the last 2 years, but especially recently, we've had the opportunity to interview some artists that we grew up listening to, you know, over the last 15 or so years. And, you know, it's a surreal situation, but it's also just people are people. And you know what I mean? And you really shouldn't put anyone on a pedestal or anything. They're just people. But, you know, speaking of Mark Coppice, we just chatted with Justin Pierre, who did a whole record with Mark Coppice. And he actually has really good things to say about him. You know, just as a side note, he said everyone knows him as the guy who makes like fart jokes, but you know, he's actually a really hardworking producer, and you know, and helped push them to make a great record. So it was pretty interesting how it kind of all ties in.
Yeah. I'd like to flip this a little bit now. So we've talked about you know, people who want to work in the industry, but for bands who are wanting to play festivals or book more shows in general, is there any advice that you could offer? Maybe you've seen people maybe apply for festivals in the wrong way, or they're not really selling themselves very well for shows. Is there any advice you could offer?
I'm just really random about how I pick bands. Like, for my label, for example, I was up late one night and I was like, hey, tweet me links. I want to sign a new band. And this band called Desires from Michigan sent me their whole EP in a direct message, and I was like, oh cool, I'll check it out. Like, I listen to everything I get sent, and I emailed him like a few minutes later, and I was like, I want to sign your band, like this is incredible. And then there's like 910,000 other bands that send me stuff, and I just can't get into it. But as far as like getting on a festival, I mean, we have a full submission process. I wouldn't do it unless you have like your highest quality of music, you have like a music video, you have things that are going to make you stand out. A fan base helps, but don't be the band that tags us in everything. Like, that is the worst thing you can do. Like, bands will be like, oh, everybody go tweet Mike Zimmer and tell him that we want to play the festival. And so there's like 900 kids annoying me and flooding my timeline. And I'm like, I don't want to even listen to this band because they're just like spamming me essentially. Like, that's not genuine interest. That's like people just being told to go do something, whereas like there'll be other bands where people are like, oh, you should check out this band, like when we actually ask for it. It's very obvious which bands are just like trying to recruit their whole army of street team kids to just like harass us, and that's the perfectly wrong way to do it.
As the old saying goes, you know, hindsight is 20/20. So if you can go back to your younger self, what do you know now that you didn't know then, that you wish you knew then, that you know now, that you would tell your younger self?
It's really hard because like I can look at the first few years of being a promoter, or even like the first 5 years, and be like, there was a lot of times that I could have already been expanding or already been like doing more. Like the first few years, from actually first 5 years, we basically just did shows at this place called the Plano Center, and we do like maybe one show a month. We weren't really in the club and doing like clubs and venues and things like that, but then we started doing that later, and so I could say, you know, like, oh, do more shows. But then we had something really special there. Like, it was that was our place, and that was the only place that we were doing it. And so when we stepped outside of that, we became just like every other promoter competing in Dallas. So I could say, like, you know, work harder at the beginning, I guess, but I don't know. It's weird, because then you take away like other experiences. There hasn't been like one thing where I'm like, man, I wish I had done that different, or I wish I'd known that. It's just kind of been like a progressive learning process all along, where I couldn't really skip any of the steps that I took, you know, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, man. I think that's some great advice.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's funny, because I think almost every day I probably find that there's some things I would do differently. But then you also learn from the mistakes that you make, or you learn from the things that you could have done differently. So it's kind of one, it's that weird kind of catch 22. If you went back and you changed it and you didn't do that, then you wouldn't have learned it in the first place. And then you might make that mistake later on when it actually counts more. So no, it's interesting. And I think, you know, look where you are now, like from where you are 10 years ago to where you are now,
right.
Everything adds up and it all counts. So I think,
well, Ross, I mean, we don't ask this question just to get our guests to go and either look back at their regrets, or, I mean, we ask this just so our audience can learn from other people's mistakes. Because, I mean, yeah, sure, we learn from our own mistakes, but we can actually just learn from other people's mistakes and not even do those mistakes. So that's why, we, you know, yeah. And every successful person like yourself, you know, has, I think most successful people have built their success on multiple failures, you know, so I think if we can all learn from that and also be okay with failures, because, I mean, it's okay to fail again and again and again until you find that success. But anyway, Mike, you know, I don't want people to go spam. Okay, basically, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you to tell us where people can find you online. But before I say that, any art bands or artists listening to this right now, don't spam Mike. Don't do it. Well, where can people find you, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine if an artist is like, hey, check out our music, yeah. But just don't send your whole army of fans after right. me. It's just on everything. It's just Mike Zeemer, at Mike Zeemer. So pretty simple.
Perfect.
I don't have anything complicated.
Perfect. That's the way it should be.
Find me, follow me. Send me good music.
Do it. And Mike does respond. I will say, he does respond. Even if you do accidentally ask him out on a date, he will very politely tell you, sorry, not interested.
Thanks anyway. But,
you know, but... exactly. But you post some really great stuff. I mean, that's why, because I actually wanted to invite you on the show a while ago, but I don't think I ever plucked up the courage to do it, because I was intimidated by your awesome tweets. So, but you post some really great stuff, and it's all very along the lines of the kind of stuff we say, very positive, motivational stuff by the music industry. You tell like it is, you're not afraid to go out there and say, you guys are doing it wrong, but this is the right way to do it. And I love that about you. And I definitely say everyone should go and follow you and connect with you online.
Absolutely.
It's very interesting. Sometimes when I go on a rant, the responses I get, there's like 90% of the music industry that's like super supportive of it. And then there's like this 10% that's like, you're just a concert promoter, you need to focus on that. And I'm like, no, I'm an entrepreneur that does my own thing. It doesn't have to answer to anyone. So if I'm opinionated about something, I'm going to talk about it. Like, there's a lot of things in the music industry that people just like don't want to talk about, and they need to be talked about. And so fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah,
that's the attitude, man. That's it.
And if you want to connect with us, as in the show, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. If you visit our website, don't forget to pick up one of our shirts while you're there.
Absolutely. And as for me, I'm working on my second solo album. You can be a part of it at marcianavelli.com/pledge. Also, just recently released my acoustic EP called The Reimagining. Ross is all about it. He plays it like 24/7. He's pretty much in love with it. So go check that out, and I appreciate your support. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcin Avelli, and say hi. Let me know what you think of my music, and just strike up a conversation. That's what it's all about. I'm here to talk. I'm here to say hi.
Exactly. And you know, Marcio responded to my tweet, which is how we ended up here today.
This
we became friends
true.
Through Twitter, and I, you may sense a slight hint of sarcasm when he was saying that I listened to his EP 24/7. I don't quite listen to it 24/7, but it is very good, and you should definitely pick it up. And as for me, I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, Joe Centenary, The Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soap Company, 30 Roses, Wendy Donaldson, and Social Surge. It's a lot of sponsors, and we love all of you. So go check them out. Their links are in the show notes. They truly help keep this show alive.
And if you want to be one of those awesome people, head over to patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic, and you can sponsor the show for as little as a dollar per episode.
That's true. And you might even receive a free shirt along with the sponsorship if you get the top tier package. So do that. Make sure that everyone should, if they like what they're watching here, they should subscribe to us on YouTube, right, Ross? And like video.
They should subscribe. They should like. They should leave us a comment. They should tell us, you know,
that we're wonderful.
Tell us the deepest, darkest secrets.
You can all tell us that you prefer Marcio over Ross. I mean, the guests don't know what the fuck they're saying. They're just Ross is the one who communicates with them beforehand. He baits them. He gets them all like, oh, you know, like we're buds, right? You know. And then I always lose. My confidence plummets, you know. So, I mean, you know, give me some love in the comments here, people, you know.
Or don't. Do what you want, you know.
But anyway, if you don't want to see either one of our faces or the guest, you can also go on iTunes. We're on there. And that's just the audio portion of the show. But anyways, we appreciate it either way. And thanks for your support. And as for you, Mike, thanks for coming on the show, man, and sharing your knowledge 10 plus years doing what you do. We appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure having you on.
Of course, it was great to be on. You guys are actually really fun to hang out with. We should do it more often.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.